Now, as you would have heard yesterday on our show, we were speaking about a referee who abandoned an under-11 hurling match between Abidorny and Ballyduff last Wednesday evening. Kerry Quistin and Oge awaiting a report from an underage hurling game which was allegedly abandoned after the referee walked off after 10 minutes due to receiving a barrage of verbal abuse from the sidelines. Scores are not recorded, of course, at under-11 in Kerry. The referee's report, which is expected to be filed in the next day or so, will be the starting point if an investigation into the incident by Kerry's Competition Controls Committee is to take place. Kerry Quistin and Oge, of course, runs underage GA games in the county. And the big question is, how did this happen? Especially given this game was run along the silent sidelines arrangement. And that is an organisation that we're going to talk to next now, because we've got Antonio Mantero, founder of Silent Sideline, with me on the line. Antonio, good morning to you. Can you tell me, first of all, what Silent Sideline is, what it's designed to do?
Well, I suppose the idea of it is basically to allow children to play their game in a natural manner. So, you know, they'll be able to play and go from decision to decision without having the added stream of noise and instruction coming from the sideline. So it's one game over a weekend or you know, sometimes over 2 weekends spaced out over 6 months or so, where children are allowed playing the game as if they were just playing on the green. So they don't have people telling them what to do. They don't have mentors or coaches constantly directing every second and every minute of the game. That's pretty much it.
So what are people asked to sign up to, and does it go across all sports, or is it just for the GAA?
No, it goes across all sports. I think this is an issue that's happening across all sports, from basketball to soccer to hockey. There's also, you know, we have the same issues where people get emotionally involved in the game, and there's constantly a stream of noise and instruction. It's across all sports.
Okay, so when you see, obviously, and what's the take-up been like, Antonio? Has it been, like, good across all sports at underage level in particular?
Yeah, so like a number of years ago, we would have ran them nationally over the whole country. We had other teams from other countries participate as well. And now teams tend to, you know, they might call me and just ask for information. They might just run one themselves. They might just ask, they'll ask the opposition to get involved. In some cases, the opposition don't get involved. But that's a great way to see one line that's quiet and just observing, and then look at the other line that's quite vocal, constant noise, constant stream of instruction, you know, constantly telling the kids what to do. So there's, you know, it's a good way for teams to I suppose, to do it, because it just allows kids to play the game in a natural manner and allows them to go from decision and mistake to mistake without them realizing or having anybody telling them, you know, what they've done, which in turn just, you know, prevents them from, I suppose, learning the game in a natural manner.
And is it targeted at mentors or parents or both?
I suppose the idea is really just to educate parents, educate coaches that there's a better way, that, you know, if you're providing instruction, if you're trying to offer advice, then maybe you need to do it when the game is stopped. So the best moments to give instruction individually or to a team is either before the game, at halftime, or at the end, or in moments of the game where the game is completely stopped. You know, maybe a player is down injured. You might be able to talk to some of your players then, but not, you know, in the middle of the game while they're trying to make your decisions. You know, if the brain works in milliseconds, the game is moving in seconds. So if you think the players are making hundreds of decisions in a game, you know, actually, I think it suggests that children make around 3,500 decisions per day. So, which means that they're making several decisions every minute in the game. So, you know, lots of sideline information can be confusing. It just prevents them from making a positive decision. You know, they want the support from the sideline, but they don't need people controlling their game. So the best thing to do is, you know, stand back away from the action, observe. If you're a mentor or a coach, take notes and just enjoy watching them play.
Okay, and that's what you're looking for. So how disappointing is it, given that this was a game which was supposedly operating silent sidelines, for a referee to feel that he has to call a halt after 10 minutes because of the abuse that he's receiving?
Well, it just shows that, you know, how far it's gone now, that actually you can't even incorporate a silent sideline without people constantly, you know, having to voice their opinion and towards the referees or the decisions that he's making, you know. So, you know, it is it is quite bizarre. It's also quite worrying that, that something like that would happen. But, you know, it's not uncommon, you know, and it's also not uncommon to the children, because most children now have grown up and been introduced to the sport with noise. So to them, they don't know any different. It's not alien to them, you know, but, you know, we need to try and reverse that and allow them to learn and appreciate the game without constantly having people shouting and questioning the referee and abusing the referee. And I think for referees now, we're probably seeing more referees, you know, just saying enough is enough. And that's probably why we're seeing more of this. And every weekend there's been a game that's been cancelled, or a referee has stopped the game, or a referee has walked off. And rightly so, because at the end of the day, like, they're human beings. If this was happening anywhere else in society, the police would be called, the person might be arrested, but certainly would be dealt with. But for some reason, when it comes to children's sports, it just seems to be accepted. It just seems to be the norm.
Why do we lose the run of ourselves on the sideline? Why do people, and particularly at underage games? You would have thought, one thing about a senior match in the heat of championship and all of that, big crowds, lot on the line, but at underage level in particular, why are people unable to stand back and say, look, let the kids play in peace?
I think, we have a culture that comes from pro sports where people are paying to be entertained, you know, so that's what's called the entertainment zone. And this feeds into the win at all costs mentality into kids' sports, you know, so grassroots sports is not the entertainment zone, it's the development zone. So we're looking to develop and teach kids and allow kids to enjoy their game. And that's where it comes from, you know, mentors and adults and coaches, they see how in the entertainment zone, you know, in the professional zone, they see how coaches and fans react and they bring that into the development zone, and they think it's perfectly normal to do it, but it's not, because, you know, children's sport and professional sport are night and day. You know, one we're teaching kids how to learn and enjoy the game and develop, and the other one is basically, you know, we're coaches and players are paid to play, and people come and pay to be entertained. So, you know, even at that level, they feel like they should be allowed voice whatever they want, you know. But, you know, as we know, some games have been stopped even in professional level because people have just been gone over the top in terms of their opinions, in terms of the things that they've said. So it's just that win at all cost mentality where, you know, where coaches and adults just you know, want to win more than the kids themselves.
Okay, and what do you think, Antonio, needs to be done here? Obviously, each sport has its own disciplinary systems, its own measures, but in order to try and change this behaviour, does an example have to be set? Or should it be set?
Education. I think obviously if things get out of hand, you know, if referees are being assaulted and that, then, you know, people need to be prosecuted for that in the same way that they would in society, if it was outside the lines of the football pitch. For me personally, I think a silent sideline should be introduced on the first weekend or the second weekend of every year. So it just educates people that, you know, this is the way you need to behave on the sideline. This is, you know, it's not about, you know, parents and the adults and the mentors coming down and not being allowed to say absolutely nothing. Of course, you know, they should be allowed to say things, but it has to be in a positive manner. You know, the things that you're about to say, they have to be, you know, they have to be constructive. They have to things that are going to help the child. But so I think every year this should be introduced, maybe every 6 months. And again, it's just to highlight and just to reignite people's minds and just think, you know, I need to, you know, I'm getting too emotionally involved here. I need to stand back away from the sideline and I need to just look on, and I'll cheer and clap when things happen, when positive things happen. And I'll try not to be negative, and I'll try not to constantly voice my opinion on the game, or constantly call my child's name, or constantly, you know, shout at the referee over decisions that they're making. So ultimately, it's all about education. It's just educating people, coaches that are coming into the game. You know, the vast majority of coaches who are working with children have absolutely no experience of working with children. They've been probably thrown into it, given all the gear and go, right, this is your team, work away, and they have to figure the things out for themselves. So I think this is a way of helping them and maybe educating them and, you know, teaching them that there is a better way. And, you know, just by creating a positive environment for all children and for all people, adults and coaches who are involved in children's sport.
Yeah. We were talking to Tony Dean, the sports editor of the Irish Examiner, yesterday about this story, and he made the point that he was coaching a team many years ago and the team was videoed as part of it. He was watching back the video and he actually got a shock when he saw his own behaviour on the sideline and the amount of shouting he was doing at his own players, and it changed his way of looking at it. Would that be beneficial for all sorts of people if they got to see themselves and how they behave?
I think so. I mean, there's lots of ways now that you can video a game, lots of cheap ways that you can video a game and look back on how you react to things on the sideline. Personally, myself, I use a system called Vero, and we record all our games, and the mic picks up absolutely everything. So you need to be aware at all times about the things that you're saying, because the game is actually being streamed live. Now, this is Adel's game. But absolutely, 100%, if you can get someone to video you and just look back on it, and you will change your ways. You know, I mean, for me, many years ago when I started out coaching, I was one of those prowlers where I was up and down the sideline shouting all sorts of nonsense, directing, thinking that I was helping the children, when in turn I wasn't. I wasn't helping anybody. I wasn't helping myself, and I wasn't helping the players. And it was only until someone actually recorded the game and I watched back and saw how I was acting on the sideline that I said, right, I need to change something here. So I think it's an absolutely brilliant way. So if there's two coaches, you know, maybe do it one game where you just video yourself for 4 or 5 minutes in the game, especially if it's a coach that gets overheated and gets very emotionally involved in the game, or you know, encroaches onto the pitch, where we see a lot of coaches are playing 10 to 15 yards inside the lines of the pitch, which again also prevents children from using that part of the pitch. So it's another way again of just highlighting that, you know, there is a better way. But yeah, 100%, I think videoing is a great tool to enhance and improve your coaching.
And finally, Antonio, look, I know you're you know, sidelines trying to go, it goes through all sports. Some sports get it right, some sports don't, or get it better than others, I should say, in terms of respect for referees. Rugby is often cited for the way it has won. Can all sports attain that? Or in order to change, would it be needed to ensure that there are penalties there for people, particularly when it comes to whatever about shouting at children, which is terrible, abusing referees and causing referees to leave the games or abandon the games halfway through?
Yeah, I think at the youngest ages, it's just a culture thing, you know. You just need to change a culture, and a mentality just needs to change. You know, it might be hard to penalise in terms of taking points, because obviously a lot of the younger ages aren't involved in divisions or leagues. But there might be a way of, you know, I think penalising the club. So I think if the club is penalised financially in some way, because, you know, we know how much clubs struggle for finances. So if they're penalised financially in one way, that will really, you know, push them.
Make them sit up and take notice. Yeah, and implement policies to change.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think every club probably has one or two coaches who are very vocal, who run into incidents every weekend, and things just seem to be, you know, not talked about, or it's just brushed under the carpet. And I think that if clubs were penalised, then, you know, clubs will act quicker. You know, rugby does have, I think, even at youth level, it does have issues as well in terms of respect towards the referee. Obviously, the players have a great respect shown towards the referee, and the referees are very much in control of the game. So, you know, maybe we need to look at how rugby adopts that. You know, how is rugby able to do that, especially even at senior level? How is it rugby able to control grown men who are in the height of the game? The adrenaline's are up, but yet they're still able to control themselves and speak to the referee in a respectful manner. But again, it's, you know, children always learn what they see on TV. They'll always learn what they see from adults. So, you know, definitely something needs to happen at the professional level, you know, where it can't be tolerated. You know, maybe we mic referees up and it's live, so that, you know, players then really need to control the things that they're saying, control their language, and that in itself might, you know, feed down into the grassroots.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, a dad whose son at an underage game was shouted at by a woman who called him fat, followed by an expletive. That boy is going to give up GAA and focus on rugby, where there's better respect, according to the father. That's a sad reality, isn't it?
I mean, that is. I mean, that's very, very sad. And the fact that people can actually think that they can talk to people like that, you know, I mean, and, you know, what gives them a right to say that about another child? I mean, again, as I said, if it's for some reason, I don't know why it is, but it just seems anything and everything seems to be tolerated once children are playing sport. But, you know, if those same children were in the schoolyard, or if they were in a playground and someone said that to them, the police would be called and that person would probably be arrested or charged. So there just needs to be a culture shift. And, you know, people... you know, really need to chew on the words before they spit them out, you know. And it's they don't have a right to criticize other people's children, whatever, by criticizing your own, but certainly you do not have a right to criticize or vocalize your opinion about other people's children.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's disappointing because it just, you know, as the years go on, we seem to have more and more adults and more coaches attending games. You know, you could have 20 to 30 on each of the sideline, and you know, the vast majority of them are perfect and are fine, but there is an element of where you get a handful that just seem to think that they can say and do whatever they want.
Yeah, it is incredible, really, when that does, things like that do happen. Okay, it's silentsidelines.org. How do people get involved, Antonio, if they want to get their team or their club or their sport involved in it?
Yeah, if you just go onto the website, like, all the information is there. I mean, the good thing about this, it's not going to cost you any money. It's not going to cost the club any money. You just implement it. You might print out a couple of signs. You can use all the logos there, no problem. And people just print out a couple of signs and you just say, look, this weekend, you notify your parents. I mean, it could even just be a team within the club. You just notify your parents and go, look, we're going to implement a silent sideline with this weekend. We don't want people to constantly instruct and tell the kids what to do. We just want you to stand back away from the action. You know, roping the pitches is really good. So you rope an area for the parents, and then the same for the coaches. You go, you know what, we're going to try and spend a weekend where we don't encroach on the pitch, where we're not constantly offering instruction. We're going to wait for certain moments in the game, i.e. when the game is stopped or before the game or the middle of the game or after the game. And, you know, just, again, record it and then just see how the children get on. You know, ask the parents at the end of it, you know, how do they feel about it. And you know, I guarantee you that everybody's going to have a powerful, and everybody's going to have a good experience when they do it. So, you know, it's something, like I said, it doesn't cost any money, and it's something that can be implemented straight away, either by the club or by teams in the club. You know, but I think going forward, this is something that needs to be implemented every year. It needs to happen in the first or second weekend of the year, so just to educate people and just get them to follow protocol and just get them in a mindset that, you know, there is a better way. You know, and constantly screaming and shouting at children while they're trying to make decisions in the game is not going to help with their development.
Yeah, certainly not. Okay, Antonio, well, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us about that this morning. That's Antonio Mantero, founder of Silent Sideline, at which that game was due to be run as a silent sideline. However, the referee was abused so badly that he cancelled or called off the game after 10 minutes. Investigation of our referee's report awaited by Kerry Quiston and Oak to see what, if any, action will be taken in response to that.